Well, that's all right. You're here. We're here. I guess we'll have some fun here for a little while.
Yeah, I think so too.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits. Today, we are visiting with Peter Savick of the band The Mix, and they're out of Germany. And today, I'm Richard, and we have April with us as well. And we're going to take a few minutes to maybe an hour of Peter's time. He's been fortunate. Yes, you've been fortunate for us to call you, Peter. We're fortunate to have Peter on. Rather, we're very excited to do this and help promote the band because we really enjoyed it when we reviewed them earlier this year. And I'm going to let April start with some of the questions, and I will jump in, and we'll go from there. So, April,
right? So, Peter, you are the founder, and you know we've read that. The mix is very different, where it's made up of a lot of members that have either autistic disabilities or disabilities in general. And
yeah.
Has that always been the goal of the band, or how did that kind of develop to where it is today?
Well, it developed the place where I work at. I was always involved in the music side of things in the establishment. But I really wanted to push to get a rock band going, you know, because I saw the capabilities of a lot of people, thought maybe they could really be good on stage. You know, I had the chance to do something with them. So they said to me, well, go ahead and do it, you know. And I started in 2009, started with a few people. I mean, a lot of the people that are in the band now aren't the original setup, but okay, you have to look and see how you can get to, you know, things optimal way. And you know, and I started working on it, and it wasn't easy because a lot of them can't read or write, so I had to work with you know, with recordings that I did of the songs, because we write a lot of our own stuff. And we started off in a small way, and then we had to get people who could see if anybody could learn to play the guitar. And it's not easy because, you know, it takes them a long time to grasp certain things and to be able to grip certain chords. But we build them in where we can, and we let them write the songs with us. That's the way we started, and it's just developed from there to where we are now, so where we are just working with normal gigs at normal clubs, you know.
And with the members, are they still considered some minors, or are they all adults, or how is the mix of the age ranges with your members?
The age scope is, I think, from 20 to 32. 33.
Okay.
Yes, I started in 2008, like 2009. I think there are two or three original members there now. And then after that, I've started again, sort of younger clients coming into the band, and on different disabilities. It's not just autism. You have severe learning disabilities and challenging behavior. I don't know if you know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah, people who were really difficult to work with, borderliners, you know, they sort of see the world a lot differently, and you have to focus on the way they are and get them, you know, to sort of tune in to the way we are as a band, and then to work as a team.
Right, and so, yeah, I can assume, you know, how different that is to work with them rather than in a normal band where...
I don't know. Sometimes that can be difficult too.
Yeah. But so...
Yeah, it's not easy, but yeah. Like I say, so, I've been working in this job for over 20 years now, and so I've got a lot of experience working with people with handicaps, and it's just the way, you know, it's just the same. Just look at, I have to look at each individual, and I say, what can he do? And when I realise, you know, he can sing, or he can play percussion, or maybe play a few chords, then I have to work on that. You know, I just test them all first of all, and then I say, okay, he's really good at that, so just work on that. Like it's a thing you have to work at all the time, you know, but you get there,
right? And and the Minx, this is a type of band that I think is probably the only of its kind, if not very
few.
And so how has the general public reacted to it?
Well, in Germany, there's a lot of tolerance towards people with handicaps, you know, so we do get a lot of support, and we are gigging quite a lot. I mean, we're going up towards 30 gigs now for this year, which is a lot for a band of this type of band, and we're working sort of very inclusive, which means we're going out into the, we're doing good gigs on the circuit, and we're not being sort of regarded as a band with handicaps. They are, we have to play and see how they rate us on merit, if they like our music, you know. But up to now, it's been really good, and we're having quite a lot of success with the public.
Right, and you did just, last year, you had your first tour through the US and Canada?
That was the first one in America, yes, in mm-hmm. Canada. We've been to Africa, we've been to England, we've been to Denmark, so a few countries in Europe, yeah.
Right, so how have the touring in different countries, how have the experience differed from each other, or are they all relatively the same?
No, I mean, you do have, because of the different cultures, obviously, it's different. Africa was really fantastic. We were in a play, we were in Namibia. We did a two and a half, three week tour through Namibia. And obviously, it's, like, it's very different there, because we did a lot of places where it had to do with churches, you know, with religion. And we were working with choirs that we'd got to know who'd been through to Germany. That's how we came to tour through Africa. So we were working with people that we'd already worked with in Europe. And it was really fantastic, you know, sort of tuning into their culture, getting their music combined into ours. And it really worked out well. It was fantastic. And America, obviously, that was something which was really quite special, because there's one band that did it before us, and they were called Rudely Interrupted from Australia. They're really a good band, also with people with handicaps, and they put me up to this, onto this idea, you know, and I got in touch with the Musebox. Traveled to New York and started to set the whole thing up. And I mean, we did the circuit that she got together for us, and it was really good and really quite interesting. It wasn't as though each place we played at was full, quite the opposite. But it gave our people a hell of a lot of experience, and, you know, new impressions of something completely different. You know, it was really fantastic. It had a lot of pluses for us.
Cool. And with, of course, the language barriers of some of the members of the band, were they able to experience the same amount? Or, I mean, because, you know, sometimes, you know, that show Lost in Translation is actually true sometimes. Were there some instances that were kind of humorous that happened on some of these events that you might want to give us some stories about?
Yeah, you always have a lot of fun with these people, because they are, you know, it's like, it's because they're so natural, and they just take everything as it comes. And it was like we were on the road, you know, and staying at different hotels every night. And obviously, you did have a few things that had happened that were really quite funny. I wouldn't be able to tell you everything, you know, because like we've got people, you know, we had people with four people in one room in sort of big hotel. You know, and obviously there were stories to tell on this type of thing, but you know, it was you know, like getting into lifts somewhere and somebody would fart or whatever, you know, it was, you know, and, you know, and, or, you know, be, just not being on the road, and the way that they all saw things, you know, and the way that they reacted to being in America and to Canada. Like I said, when I speak, I don't just speak for myself. These are the impressions that I got from the people that I work with, you know, these people, these guys and girls in the band. And, you know, it was really interesting to see how they really stood up to this, you know, I'm sorry, my English sometimes.
No, that's fine.
It was how they really, you know, got into the groove on this whole tour. You know, it was really quite impressive to watch, and the way that they sort of handled it, you know, they were really cool, you know. It just, we weren't just in America, we were in Canada as well, you know, and but they just take things as it comes and they handle it really well, you know, and we made a lot of friends.
So no trashed rooms or anything like that, like a rock band.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, but obviously the Big Apple, I mean, New York was a really big thing for us, because we flew into New York, and that the first gig was in piano, was in New York, and we had a day free before the gig, and just touring and letting them see just places like Times Square, obviously the tourist thing, and then getting around on a bus and then, you know, down to Ground Zero or whatever, you know, but they... I'd also heard about these things and actually been there and be able to look at it and touch it and sort of live it, you know, and breathe it. It was a really, really big experience for them, you know. I mean, I'd been to New York a couple of times before then, but I knew how they were going to react to it, and they didn't let me down at all. It was really good.
Right. So do you usually get, not ample time, but a little bit of time to just relax when you're going around on a circuit?
If I just talk about America, it was just over 2 weeks of really compact gigs. We did, I think we did 10 or 11 gigs in these 2 weeks, and we didn't have a lot of time to sort of tour. It was really a working tour. But we did, like I say, we spent the first day in New York and the last day in New York, so we flew into John F. Kennedy. And in between, but we just didn't do the circuit. We also visited a couple of places, one in Boston, where people with handicaps are playing, because they'd heard about us coming, so they invited us to come along and look at their place. You know, they came to the gig in the Middle East Club in Boston, and it was really nice getting to know them. Actually, they're coming to visit us on the 24th of September for about 8 or 9 days, so we made friends in that sense as well. You know, we wanted to look and meet people with disabilities while we were there. And then we were in New York State in a place near the town of Albany, a place called Green Chimneys. We went there and we did a gig there, and that was really fantastic. So we were more or less working all the time while we were there, you know. And it was the same in Africa, you know. We didn't have really much time to do any tourism, you know. But the thing is, when you in a place like Africa, you drive through national parks, so you're taking in the scenery, you're seeing the animals, and stopping at lodges on the way, you know, to the different towns that you played at.
Right. Didn't get to pet a rhino or anything like that.
Love to have seen a lion when I was there, Richard, but it was the rain period when we were there, and so they didn't come to the water holes, you know, because there was a lot of rain, so were they getting the water somewhere else, you know. But we saw loads of elephants and snakes and giraffes and a rhino, you know. We stopped to have a look at this rhino, and then it started rubbing his back leg, and the bus driver said, "Listen," he said, "I think we're going to have to go." he's going to charge us, you know. But that is so interesting, you know, when you see stuff like that. Really brilliant.
Yeah, not very many people get to see him in the wild, so yeah, that would be an experience. Yeah. Before we get too far, if you wouldn't mind giving the number of members of your band and their names as well, so we can recognize them.
Yeah, okay.
Put you on the spot here.
Yeah, well, if I introduce the girls in the band, we've got two girl singers up front. One is called Zian. That you spell that S-E-A-N, Cian, Camp, C-A-M-P, C-A-M-P. Then you have Nadine Timper. She's the other one. She's a little girl with the glasses, really dark hair. And then we have two guys up front singing as well, Marcus Mix, And the other guy is called Zasha Bittner. Are you writing this down or because I'll have to spell it for you?
No. I can get it off your webpage.
Okay. sorry. And then we have the drummer is called Ernst Volker Lindmüller, a really good German name, old-fashioned German name. he is like 6'10" or whatever, and weighs about 17 or 18 stone, and he's such a fantastic drummer. He's autistic, you know, and when you talk to Ernst, sometimes you think, well, you really have to listen hard and say, what does he mean? What is he talking about? But he's, he does have system in that, what he says, and after a while you start to understand what he means, you know, but he's such a great drummer, you know, and he really holds the band together. Then we have the non-disabled people in the band. My person, Peter Savick, then my son Sean Remler, he plays bass, and we had one guitar player called Johannes. We call him Rudy, you know. And so, I mean, obviously, so like I said, we're an integrative, inclusive band,
right? And that's a pretty big group for a band. And so, do you find it hard at times just to try to get settled and try to get a one direction kind of what you want to do with a song?
Obviously, yes. I mean, that is a thing. So we just didn't say we didn't say we're going to go in one direction. We are a rock band. I mean, that is the direction which we have gone and are going. But we do like elements of pop. But if I just left it up to sort of the guys and the girls in the band, the direction they would go, they would, because a lot of them love German Schlager music. I don't know if you know, have you heard of German Schlager?
No, I have not.
It's much more than very, very commercial. It's in Germany. It's a very, very big thing. People who work in the Schlager scene in Germany, and other guys and girls, they love these type of people, this type of music, you know. But we said we wanted to do rock, so we tried to put a lot of different elements, say from German types of rock, German type of pop music, into that what we're doing. But like I say, they write the lyrics themselves, or they let us know what they want the song to be about. That it is then written with them and for them, and then we put the music to it. But we do try to help them a little bit in the musical tastes that they would like to come into them. But we do try to stick to a rock schema. I don't know if you know. Does this word mean anything to you?
I think we were listening to the three songs we had, we kind of felt they were kind of a 90s, early 2000s influence. With stylings on some of them. And then there was one in particular we kind of felt like was a little bit of a throwback to almost a beach sound. I can't remember the title of that one off the top of my head without hearing it. But do you just have the three songs right now, or are there additional songs?
No, we do have a lot more songs.
I would hope so, since they're touring.
Do you have them available on iTunes or on your Facebook page, or how can people get to those so they can download them and purchase them for you?
We do have two CDs out. The first CD, that was a thing that I produced and did. And okay, but when it started really getting serious with the band, then we started working with people that had a little more idea, you know, like doing the studio thing. And now we've got enough songs to do the third one, and we're just in the middle of getting that one together. And these songs that you've got or that you want to play are going to be coming onto the third album, you know. But it's like I say, it's a lot slower working with people with handicaps, because it takes more time to get the songs together, because we have to get their influence into it, you know. And there being so many people in the band, it does take a little more time to get things together.
Right, and this sounds like a very rigorous, you know, schedule almost you're following, you know, just for work to get all the songs done and then start putting it into the album. So do you find, is this pretty much a full-time job now for you?
Yes, it is my job. I work altogether with three bands, three different bands. There are two other bands, but the Mix is the big one. It is a full-time job for me. Yes, I work all the time. I mean, like when I get ideas for songs and for the lyrics that I've been given, you know, that's the thing that I'm more or less doing all the time, you know. And then I have to get the funding together then to be able to go into the studio and get. But this year we've got so many gigs going, we're getting the money together to go into the studio, because we are sort of more or less doing a lot of going our own way, you know. We're trying to get a label here in Germany, but it's not easy getting a label working with people with handicaps, you know. That's one thing right. That we're really trying to, you know, get going.
And just to go back to your music, I've been playing around on your website and I didn't see anywhere where they could purchase CDs. Are they available on iTunes or anything like that?
I didn't understand you, Richard. Sorry.
On your website, I was looking for where we could purchase CDs or your songs, and I didn't see a link that led me anywhere.
On iTunes, there is one. I think it's TuneCore.
Okay.
TuneCore. Is where you can get stuff, our stuff, and the CD that's on TuneCore is called Wo geht die Reise hin? That means, where is the journey going?
Okay, will they be able to have a link to that on your Facebook page, or I'm trying to find your link?
On the Facebook page, there is a link to TuneCore, definitely, okay. Because I put that on last year, you know.
Okay, because I'll be putting links to your webpage and Facebook, so we want to make sure how people can help you.
I think our Facebook page is more important than the homepage, because the homepage is all in German, you know, and I couldn't get anybody who would sort of translate that for the time. So I just put up the Facebook page, and we did a lot of stuff in German and English, you know, for English speaking lands as well.
Okay, so for everybody listening, we'll have that link on the show notes when they're posted. So be sure to link over to their Facebook page, and you can download their music for. I assume since it's similar to iTunes, 99 cents a song. So really encourage you to do that, because it's a better way to do music nowadays. It seems like it's all going digital for some reason. I'm still old school, as you can tell.
Right. That brings it up, the question. Are you guys embracing the, I guess, new digital era? Are you going mainly to all your albums are online now, or do you also work with hard copies still?
I didn't understand that, April. I'm sorry. What do you mean?
Do you guys, when you produce an album, do you put, you will put it online for downloads, but do you also print hard copies, like actual CDs?
Oh, CDs, yeah, we print them. Yeah, definitely, yeah. You know, and we've done that with both CDs that we've had. Yeah, the CD comes out, and we sold quite a few really good hard copies. And when we play anywhere, there's always people that want them, you know. Right. And but we do not have the distributors. We don't, you know. Like I say, that's not worked out up till now.
Yeah, but all right. So I was going to ask. You know, we talk a lot about how, you know, it is a full-time job for you, getting the songs together and working with the bands. And then at the same time, it sounds like you are also continuously going to gigs. And does that slow you down any, creating new music?
No, it doesn't. Because I think doing a lot gives a lot of, you know, it's like I said, we started in 2009, and the experiences that these people have made over the last 6-7 years is starting to flow into the music now, because it has really influenced them in a lot of ways, you know, getting around, seeing new places, being able to go onto stage and playing their music for people and seeing that it's getting good reaction, and they're starting to pick up on this. And they start, and it's really started influencing the way that they tell me, you know, their new thoughts and ideas. So it really goes hand in hand.
Cool. And so it sounds like the Mix has received tons of positive support and are definitely on the right track, going in the right direction. So do you have any bigger tours lined up coming up, or so we can kind of let people know where you're going to be at?
Well, more or less in Germany. We've got a couple of things coming up in Austria. We're in Holland this year. And more or less touring in Germany this year. You know, apart from these two, these few things that are in Holland and in Austria, USA, we would love to get across again. Nadine from the Musebox, she already said she could put something together for us on the West Coast. Would be fantastic, but we need the funding, you know, and it's right. not easy getting that kind of funding, you know.
With the band and going out, you don't actively promote that it is a band with disabilities, the way I understand it, correct? You're just, this is us, this is who we are, or do you actively promote that?
Well, I think that people pick up on it. It's not a thing that we actually go out and say, well, we are, you know, because I think you can get the false reaction to that, because
right.
it's not about being handicapped to think that it's about the music. It is now, definitely. This is a limit. Cool. This is a status that we've reached, and we want to let the people listen more to our music and judge us on that more than say, oh, these poor people on stage, look at them, you know. And you, I mean, right. you get that, you know. They say, oh, the poor people, and, you know, a lot of places that want us to play at their place, they'll say, well, you know, they think, well, they should be happy that we're offering them a gig, because some places just don't want to pay you. They say, well, we can get something to eat and drink at our place. You know, what we can eat and drink at home. We don't have right. to go out anywhere else to play, you know. We just want to be taken seriously as a band, you know. And I think that is what inclusion's all about, you know, being right. accepted
so
in society.
With the general yeah, performances, you definitely want to be noticed for the music, which I understand it completely, but when you are
definitely.
Performing for a event or specifically for another group of individuals, like you said, you had one place where it was primarily other individuals with handicaps, is, you know, with you going out and doing this and with those special events where you do kind of put it out in front, are there any stories you can tell us about some of your band members not realizing how big of an influence they might have on these people and give them inspiration to actually go forward with some of their inspirations and dreams?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think you get that all the time, you know. I mean, obviously, a lot of places where we play, you do get people coming along that are handicapped. They pick up on it, they know we're going to be playing at a certain place, and then they'll come, you know, they come from certain institutions or from in the town where people live, and I think they do realise that they are having quite a big one. When we played in Ottawa last year, we got there and there was quite a good crowd there, actually. And there were a few people with Down syndrome and autistic, and then there was one girl there. She just wanted to get on stage with us, and she was in awe of the band. And so we got her up and she wanted to dance, you know, and that was so
cool.
was such a big thing for her to get up there and sing and play, you know, with the mix. You do get that, you know, and we do have fans, you know, and a lot of the fans are obviously people with handicaps as well, but not just, you know,
right.
They do have a really big influence about on that factor, you know, on people with handicaps. They say, well, look, we can get out and we can do the same things as anybody who's normal, you know, can do, and it can be accepted as being normal, you know. And it does have an influence, definitely, yes.
Good. So that's having a positive impact wherever you're mm-hmm. going then.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very yeah. cool.
I mean, we are playing in Essen this year, and that is it's in a very industrial area of Germany. I don't know if you know Dortmund, Essen. It's a very industrial part of Germany, and there is a big festival this year where you know, we've got a mixture of non handicap bands and handicap bands, you know.
Okay.
So we'll do things like that as well, you know.
I know the only we've been in Germany was Frankfurt and kind of in the southern part of Germany, and then we went down into Zurich and everything. So I'm
yeah.
not sure how
yeah.
close that would be to Frankfurt or anything.
Yeah, well, Frankfurt's is quite a few hundred kilometers southwards
okay.
from that place I'm talking about. Yeah, but the south of Germany is a very nice place. So we enjoyed it while you were down there.
Oh, we did.
We did. Yeah,
we took about 10 days, and we enjoyed the countryside and the cities and everything. So it was.
Well, if you get across again, you'll have to come up and see us, man.
we're kind of like you. We're struggling to get that money to go places, and we've been trying to go to a music festival here in the States for the last 5 years, and it still hasn't worked out. So, our biggest one closest to us is South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas, and just
the I've heard about that. Musebox, yes. Nadine, she wanted us to play there, but it just didn't work out. You know,
I would say if you can do it, because that's one of the bigger venues in our area of the States, and
it'll give you a new area.
Give you a new area, and so many people are down there. It'd be nice. I don't know if it's kind of like the individual. I think it's like 2 weeks long. 1 week is more focused on music, and the other week's more technology, movies, and they kind of blend together, and it's like tons of people descend on Austin for those couple of weeks.
I actually have read about it, and after Nadine told me about it, and it is actually the largest festival in the world, isn't it?
It's one of the,
it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know how they grew into it, but they did.
Now, it might be a thing where I can talk to my bosses about, maybe a one-off thing, get down there and play. It's always in March, though, isn't it?
I believe so, yes. It's in March. I can't remember exact dates, but it is in March.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fantastic.
But like I said, we've been pining for 6 years, going on 6 years, I guess I should say, to get the funds for it. We're actually going to Dallas in a little while to go to a big Japanese animation convention that we've been trying to get to for a few years. So we're taking those baby steps too.
I'll cross my fingers for you. Definitely. I'd love to see you again.
Same
it would be
for
nice.
You. Same for you.
With all the individuals that you have in there. When you are on tour, how many are you crammed into the
one little bus
like you see bands do, or do you kind of get like a couple so you're a little bit more spread out? Or because sometimes you can get some good stories from those too.
I wish I could really. But we had four vans because we did travel quite, I think 2,500 to 3,000 kilometers in the time that we were there. So the one thing they wanted when we were traveling, we wanted to travel comfortably. And one was for the gear, which we rented in New York. We obviously took a lot of stuff with us, not a PA, but the back line. And, and we had a tour manager. He came from Canada, a sort of French Canadian. He was fantastic. And he was driving the back line bus. And, but we had to keep changing around. I mean, you do have things like, Nadine, when she was, she did have a lot of, she was homesick, so you have to really sort of build the people up when they start getting down, and I'd take her in the car with me, and we'd talk about some really good things, or I would give her my telephone and say, well, come on, you ring your folks up while we're traveling and talk to your mother or your father, because they do it's something where they do miss the parents or the people that are around them. But it was okay. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was normal, and Ernst, he's the one, when he goes abroad with us, he starts counting the days, straight from when you get onto the plane, when he's going to be home again. I've only got to sleep another 10 days and I'll be home, but okay, they manage it, and in the beginning it was really difficult, but now they just it's very few and far between, the situation where they're sort of homesick.
They're starting to become old hats to it, huh?
That's a good thing.
You talk about them and their pressures and what they're feeling when they're on tour. Putting even just the band together, like April was talking about earlier. The other aspect that I'm kind of curious about is how antsy or how nervous are the parents?
Oh yeah, that's a big one. obviously, before we before we left, we have to have sort of two or three big meetings with the parents and sort of fill them in about the tour, the tours we do, what's going to be happening, you know, and they are obviously, you know, because I mean, we have to take medicine across with us, which certain people have to take, and they want us to be really, you know, on the ball with issues like this, you know, so that their children are safe. But, you know, I've been working together with these guys for the last 8 or 9 years, and I think I'm a lot closer to them than the parents are at the moment, you know. So, you know, so I'm just like telling them, hey, come on, you know, yeah, you've either got to trust your children with me or with my people, because we work as a team. I take people that are really sort of good at the job. I'm working with these people, you know, and I have to take a man, a woman, obviously the woman for the women and the man for the men, and you know, they're looking at the people all the time and saying, okay, I've got to watch this, watch that. So they are really well looked after. So I have to convince the parents, you know, that everything's going to be all right. And like we say, when we're on the road, and I let them ring up and talk to their parents, it's okay. It's no problem now. It was in the beginning, you know, but not now.
For you as well to be committed for the pressure that you're under for that, because I mean, you say it's an old hat and you're used to it now, but still, there's still some pressure there.
I mean, I don't know if you know the saying in Germany. They say, you know, when you work in a job, the one that I do, when you're responsible for people and you're going out with these people, you are working with one foot in prison.
yeah, you are.
Yeah, and that's what they say in Germany. And because if anything did happen, which it hasn't up to press, you know, there would be a lot of questions asked, obviously, because and then, you know, what were you doing? How could it come to an issue like this? You know, but like I say, we've been very lucky. I think it's just keeping the people happy, you know, and they haven't got time to think about feeling ill or, you know, or being too homesick or whatever. It's like I say, you know, it's just over the years now, it's built up the confidence, you know, and it's, you know, it's not just the music where they were sort of really gotten better in. It's, you know, on the self-esteem, teamwork, you know, the confidence has been built up, you know, over the years, because, you know, getting out and playing for people, meeting a lot of people, you know, this has really helped them, you know, stabilize themselves in their own lives, if you know what I mean.
You know, going to all these different places is already could be, you know, harder on somebody without these disabilities, but are for sure a lot, you know, or is usually harder to work with these people. So do they hesitate when meeting new people, or how do they react with not only with the culture and just different scenery in general, but the actual people?
Yeah, well, I think it's when we meet new people, when we've done the gig, you know, we get out, we get somewhere, and then you're just sort of getting ready for the gig. If you get there a few hours before the gig, then you're just concentrating and getting ready for the gig, and then you get on the stage. And like I say, the people that aren't handicapped in the band, we're at the back of the stage. People hardly see us, you know. We're sort of just supporting them. The people that really sell the shows are people like Zasha. He's so fantastic on stage and up front, and he connects straight away to people. And then you, Nadine, the little one with the glasses, you'll see her in the video later. And then Zian, you know, they communicate so fantastic with, and even they couldn't speak English, but when we were in the USA as well, they were doing what they could in English, you know, but it just connects. So you get up there, and then when you get down, well, it's there, you know, the ice has been broken, and there's absolutely no problem sort of talking to people, because people come up to you, hey, that was a great show, fantastic, how do you do this, we'd love to get to know you, you know, and it's absolutely no problem for them, you know, talk to them. I'm not really had a situation where I can say my people are shy and they just want to get out of the place and get back and sleep or whatever, you know. They really get out there and meet the people, and it doesn't matter where they are, it's fantastic, you know.
Well, they say music is another common denominator with everybody.
Yeah,
it is. It's actually, I think, one of the best forms of communication. Definitely. Yeah.
Another quick question I had. Let's try that.
There we go.
There we go. We're back.
All right.
The style, you talked about everybody kind of going back to that. Before we leave off, I want to go back to the music end of it. And if there was a style, is it just a really broad mix of styles, or is everybody comfortable with where you're rock. At with the rock comfort, or are you going to try to experiment a little bit later on with some other albums?
Hello?
I'm there. Ah.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't think you were finished. Sorry, Richard, I didn't quite understand what you said, sorry.
With everybody that's involved with the band, you say you're concentrated on the rock style right now, but in the future, are you going to try to maybe play a little bit with some of the sounds and experiment in that format as well? Like maybe a little bit of a harder rock, or maybe even a reggae, or, you know, just to experiment and have fun with the band members?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got you've just hit it on the nail. We are obviously bringing different styles elements in, because I think, like I said, we're starting to find ourselves now, you know, and we have experimented with reggae. We've got a song that we've just written, which is a very sort of reggae-ish, I've got one guy who's been working on keyboards. He's sort of fetched a new element of style from the music into the band. It's, I think, you know, everybody has to get involved, and then you do find new styles to put to the words that they've written. Yeah, we are experimenting, definitely. I think there's going to be something really happening in the next couple of months or years, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else? I think that's going to about do it. Peter, we enjoyed visiting with you. We want to be able to let everybody know that, again, all the links are going to be on their post for Facebook and their webpage, so go there to support them in their endeavors.
Yeah.
Is there any other type of websites or social media that you have that we don't have that you might want to put out there so people can find you?
Well, when we've finished, I'll put it in, I can write it all down, then I can send you something, Richard. I think that would be the best thing for me. But I want you to know that we're really, really appreciative that you've shown this interest in our band. I mean, we appreciated the article you did before our tour, which was really fantastic. You gave us a good review there. When does this go out?
Basically, I will try to edit it all together next week and try to get it out before we go to the convention we're going to.
About a week and a half.
If it doesn't work, it'd be about 2 weeks, and then it'll be out. And I will email.
Would there be any way that I could maybe get a recording or whatever, you know, because I don't know if I'll be able to tune in from this time. Yeah, well, of course I will be over the internet, won't I?
Right.
Yeah.
What I do, I'll send you a link to the actual webpage that has the recording on it, so you'll be able to link to it right there. And it's open base, so if you can use it however you want to. Everything's open base for us on our website. There's no copyright commons or anything like that. So we're here to help you guys out because you're being nice enough to give us things and let us hear all the different music, so we want to return in kind.
Said we appreciate it very, very much. Thank you very much. You're helping our cause as well, you know, getting out there and making music and giving, you know, a platform for people with disabilities to get out there and say, okay, we can do the same as anybody else.
Right.
Thank you.
Again, I'm Richard along with April here, and we've been visiting with Peter Savick. The Muse Box contacted us with this. The person that did that for us was Carla McDonald, so we have to say a thank you to her, and we appreciate her and have her get in touch with us again. Peter, we do appreciate your time that you took this evening with us as well.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Lovely.
Yes, thank you.
Great stuff. Thank you.
And we hope everybody enjoyed the show. We will see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.